This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Hey, do you like the weather I brought you from Cleveland, Ohio this week? If you like variety, come to Ohio. Last week, it was 91 on Friday, and on Saturday, the high was 69. And Sunday, we got 3 feet of snow. No, I'm just teasing about the last part. But we do get over about 100 inches, depending on the year, of snow, and one of the reasons why it's fun to be here in South Carolina. I just want to say again a word of appreciation. When faculty often sit over here, at least when I was in school, and when I look back at my time at CIU, my emphasis was in missions and also in Bible teaching. I did the whole student teaching experience. When I look back, the way that that shaped my life, and even the courses I still refer back to, like Intro to Biblical Ethics and Progress of Redemption and various classes, the impact that I had in my life was really big. And so I hope that this year for you, some of you are freshmen, you're just beginning, may it be just a fantastic journey for you in these years ahead. Yesterday, we zeroed in on a couple of verses as we talked about what the greatest part of the Christian life really is. And we said there's nothing more at the core, fundamental to the Christian life than the fact that Christ lives where? In you, in me. That Christianity is not, first of all, a set of behaviors. It's not the way you look. It's not what you necessarily even do. It's not hoops you jump through. That the Christian life is the fact that Jesus Christ lives in you. And so we mentioned a couple of verses, and I'd like for you to just say these aloud with me. You're going to see them up on the screen. The first one is from Colossians chapter 1. Would you say that one with me? Let's say it together. God has chosen to make known the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:7, let's say that one together. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Remember this bag yesterday? Someone said, you really have cash in that bag up there? I did, and it was missing after chapel. I don't know what happened, but someone's tuition has been paid. But we said, just because it's an ordinary container doesn't mean the treasure inside is not real, right? Just because it's a jar of clay, Paul says, doesn't mean that the treasure isn't real inside. So don't be confused by the ordinary container, the person sitting next to you, the person on your right, the person. You, just because we sort of look ordinary people, let's never forget the truth of God's word that Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of His, if you put your trust in Him, He lives in you. It's the Christian life. You know, I think you know that, I know that, but I think too often we live like we don't know. We live like Jesus is maybe somehow at a distance, that like He ascended to heaven and He's really far away, and there's not that sense of He's right with me right now, living within me, to the extent that, I mean, it's interesting how it's always been the temptation. Two examples, first from the early church in 1 Corinthians 6, you don't need to turn there, but Paul says this, he says, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? He says, don't you know? They're living like they didn't know. He knew how easy it is to forget the most central part of being a Christian, that the Spirit of Jesus Himself lives in us. Unfortunately, it's always been a challenge for the people of God to remember His nearness. If you have your Bibles, let's turn together to Genesis 28. Genesis 28, I wonder if sometimes we act like Jacob, who's the subject of this chapter, and along with his great God. You remember this passage, how one night Jacob has a dream, pretty wild dream, maybe the fact that he was sleeping with a rock as a pillow, I don't know, but God appears to him, and he sees this ladder resting on the earth, and it's going up to heaven, and angels are going up and down. Remember that? And it's this dream that he God appears to him in that moment. I want to pick up at verse 15. Here's what we read. The Lord speaks to Jacob in this moment and says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and what? I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. You hear what Jacob says? I wonder how many times you and I would have to acknowledge that we would need to say this, you know, throughout a day, or surely the Lord is, it's present tense, in this place, and I was not aware of it. It's a striking phrase, isn't it? Apparently, it's possible for God to be present without a person recognizing that he's there. It's possible for you and me to sort of sleepwalk through life, just to go about the motions, living without an awareness of his presence. And yet, when we become aware, everything in our perspective can be turned upside down. He says, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. So in other words, God takes a very ordinary place, a very ordinary container, and he recognizes that the power of God is in that very ordinary place. It probably didn't look like different from any other spot, right? Except that he finally had this recognition, this realization, God is here. And for Jacob, it changed everything. Friends, when we live like we know, when we see the unseen, as the New Testament talks about, wow, the difference that it can make in our lives. I wanted to share today somewhat of a testimony in my own life, how this has had an impact on me. And I want to start with a personal failure and how God used this failure in my own life to really change the way that I think and see my life. It was a couple of years ago, I took a trip to Asia. Apart from being a pastor, that's my main role. I love being a pastor, but I also serve as in a role with the Christian Missionary Alliance as a vice president, so I do a little bit of traveling. So I was traveling over to Asia, but on the way, I was supposed to meet the guy traveling with me in San Francisco, and from there we were going to take the trip over and fly to Japan. So I land at San Francisco, and I have most of the day because he's not going to get until that night, and so I thought, I've never been to San Francisco before, so I get a shuttle downtown, and I love to walk, so I walked several miles, and I went down to, you know, I saw the Koi Tower, if you've been to San Francisco, and the Fisherman's Wharf, and all the seals on the docks and everything, and I'm looking around, and I'm walking back at the end of several miles, and I'm just thinking, a little bit sad, sort of melancholic, and I just think, you know, it's sort of a bummer to be all by myself. I wish Mary, this my wife, could be with me, but just to do this all on my own, it was as if the Lord, he didn't speak audibly, but he prompted me so clearly. Jonathan, have you really been all alone today? Well, Lord, I've not been all alone. But Jonathan, you've lived as if you were all alone. You've walked this entire day. You've never spoken to me. You haven't acknowledged my creativity in nature. You haven't prayed for the people of this city. Jonathan, you've walked these last several hours without an awareness of my presence. Ouch. Sometimes the truth hurts, right? You say, well, didn't you know he was with me? No, I knew he was with me, but I lived without an awareness. Do you see the difference? You can know something, but not live with the knowledge of what you know. or not live with the realization or the experience of what you know to be true. And so at that moment, I just said, Lord Jesus, you're with me right now. And as I said that phrase, I thought, you know what? I'm going to say that phrase as many times as I can on this trip, just to acknowledge the sense of his presence. Lord Jesus, you are with me right now. So I got on a plane, and we fly over to Japan. And I woke up in the middle of the night because of jet lag, couldn't get back to sleep. Lord Jesus, you are with me right now. When I was with a group of folks and had a free moment of conversation, Lord Jesus, you're with me right now. We went to this skyscraper looking out over the biggest city in the world, Japan. And when you're on the skyscraper, you look out over this vast expanse of Tokyo and, you know, the whole, and you feel so small. Lord Jesus, you are with me right now. We went to Korea, and I found out like hours before I was supposed to speak in this large church. Did we tell you were speaking? I hadn't had an opportunity to prepare. Lord Jesus, you're with me right now. When I sat down for lunch and I looked in my bowl and I didn't recognize what it was, and I love Korean food, but on this occasion there was a jellyfish in my bowl along with some noodles that I didn't look real appealing to me. They're transparent sort of kind of, and I didn't know which to tackle first. Lord Jesus, you're with me right now. And if I were at the McDonald's down the street I just saw, you would be with me even more in that moment. When I got to my hotel room, and there was a little sign on top of the TV in English and in there in Seoul, adult channels free. Lord Jesus, you're with me right now. I wasn't always successful. When I landed in Cleveland, which is home to me, after a 35-hour day because of time changes and everything, and I realized that my computer bag, I had given up my seat. An elderly lady told me that the seat I was sitting in was her seat, and I had my ticket. I knew it was my seat, but I said, that's no problem. I'll get up. I went to the back of the plane, but I left my computer bag in the overhead compartment there. And when I got off the plane, my computer bag was gone. That had my wallet, my passport, my laptop, everything that I said, I failed to remember, Lord Jesus, you're with me right now. When running down the concourse, thought, who's holding my computer bag? And saw God directed my eyes. I saw the computer bag right in this little waiting area next to a chair. And I said, there's my bag. I had no idea how it got there, by whom. Lord Jesus, you're with me right now. And it's still true today. In fact, it's been something that in my own life to be able to say, Lord Jesus, I don't want to be like Jacob. Surely, Lord, you've been with me, in me, and this time after the cross, after the resurrection. But how many times would I have to say, I'm not aware of it? Lord Jesus, you're with me right now. You know, it's clear that Jesus wanted us to live with an awareness. Even the way that he's introduced, you know, he comes from, you look at the opening gospel of the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 1, his name is announced. He's coming from heaven, becoming one of us. And you will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. It's like bookends. You have the beginning of Matthew, come to the end of Matthew, and in Matthew 28, and Jesus gives this commission, this sense of, man, the whole world is my, you know, I want you to grasp my heart for people in every section of this planet. All authority has been given to me, and surely I will be what? With you. He didn't want us to miss it. I will be with you. So what if we invited him into every part of our day? What if you went from here and said, Lord Jesus, you are with me right now? You know, sometimes people think, well, if I've completely surrendered to Christ, if he's fully, you know, living in me, that I need to completely radically change what I'm doing, my trajectory in life and all the, and not necessarily. It will change the way you see your life, but it may not change what you do. John Ortberg, in his book, God is Closer Than You Think, here's what he writes. He says this, I think this just puts it so well. He says, spending the day with God does not usually involve doing different things from what we already do. Mostly, it involves learning to do what we already do in a new way with God. So that means if you're a student, you're a teacher, you're a homemaker, you're a parent, you're a computer tech, you're a salesperson, you are a manager, a truck driver, whatever you do. Mostly, it involves learning to do what you do in a new way with Christ. We have this treasure. That's the Christian life. God bless you. Here's my challenge to you this week. Would you see how many times, how many places every day you can remind yourself of that truth? Lord Jesus, you are with me right now. Now, what does that mean? I'm speaking today from my own experience, how the Lord has applied this truth of Scripture to my own life. So I want to mention two truths that have really had an impact for me. Two of them. First of all, Lord Jesus, you are with me right now, and I belong completely to you. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I no longer live. What is he talking about there? I no longer live. I live, but Christ lives in me. My life is all about Christ. You know, there's this sense that when I live with Jesus that I realize I'm no longer my own. We read that verse earlier in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, you don't belong to yourself, right? You're not your own. You've been bought with the price. So no longer is it about me. Instead, it's his agenda, his will, his promptings, his purposes. Lord, it's all about you. That he wants to accomplish things through you that are way beyond what you could ever comprehend. We've been crucified with Christ. So whether we're walking the streets of San Francisco or we're over in the Learning Resource Center, you're working in the cafeteria, or you're driving on I-20, you're having a conversation with a friend down at the point, or whatever you're doing, you say, Lord Jesus, you are with me right now, and I belong completely to you. The Bible also gives us this confidence that we can say, Lord Jesus, you're with me right now, and your power is available to me. When we talk about Jesus living in us, do we really get that the same power that raised him from the dead is the same power that lives within us? 1 John chapter 4 says this, greater is the one who is in you than what? The one who is in the world. We have the one who created the universe, who's from everlasting to everlasting. He's God living in us. We have this treasure. Sometimes, though, we live disconnected, don't we? I grew up, as Dr. Jones said, I'm one of nine children in our family. We grew up in this piece of property where the back of our property was lined with these high-tension wires, just sort of loomed over our property. Some people say if you have high-tension wires nearby, it affects you, you know, down the road, and I think it's all a bunch of quackery, you know, that would ever do anything to you, but so we have these high-tension wires, but, you know, sometimes a storm would come into town, and the electricity would all go off, you know, the lights are they're out, the freezer begins to defrost, all that kind of stuff, and we look out the window, and we'd see these high-tension wires pulsing with megawatts of electricity, and we had no power. It was so close, but no power. How often do we live like that? Lord Jesus, you're with me right now. And we don't abide. We get disconnected. There's a power outage in our lives. I got a painful email yesterday. I'm part of a network of guys who are pastors of large churches, and we get together and we share best practices and just what is God teaching you and support one another. And so I get an email yesterday of one of these guys who is pastor of this fast-growing church, tons of fruit, people come to know Jesus, public statement, you know, and then my body had to resign his position because of moral failure. And my heart aches today. I was just with him a couple months ago, and it aches for him, for his wife, for his kids, for his colleagues, for his church family, for the community who needs to see Jesus lived out in a life. And what is this going to do? It's a power outage, right? Disconnected. Whenever I engage in some kind of activity that's outside of the will of God, there's some kind of a disconnect that I'm forgetting that Jesus Christ lives with me right now, right? Paul says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know? Greater is the one who is in you than the one who is in the world. Friends, we don't have to give in. When the enemy tempts us in whatever way he tries to get at you, we can have this absolute confidence that Jesus Christ overcame every temptation he faced. And his same power is within you. Greater is the one who is in you. And so he's going to give you strength to take even practical steps. You know, it might be going to someone here, a trusted counselor on campus, and saying, can we talk? Here's what's going on in my life. It means finding a resource to say, I need to find a resource to help me to be an overcomer. It might be on your smartphone. You go, I found a way to look at stuff I know I shouldn't be looking at, and you put whatever filter on your smartphone is needed. That the Spirit of Jesus living within you is going to give you the strength to overcome. The power that you need to honor and please him. Here's the question that comes back to me, to you, each day. Do we really know, or do we live like we know that he is with us right now? See, I have this tendency to forget. You know why? Because the container is so ordinary. I go, really? This is just Jonathan, you know? The God of the universe lives in me from the very moment that I trusted him. Do you believe that about yourself? Do you believe that he lives in you, a jar of clay, something as simple as a brown paper bag? You know, I think the Lord realizes our tendency to forget. So you know what the most frequently repeated promise in the Bible is? I will be what? With you. I will be with you. I mean, it's to Noah, to Abraham, you just go all the way through the Bible. I will, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are what? With me. And just over and over again, don't be afraid. I am with you. He never wanted us to forget. Final promise of Jesus. He would come back visibly. In the meantime, though, surely I will be with you. I'll be with you. That's what he says. So the question is not whether he's with us or not. He is. The question is, am I aware? Do I live with this sense of his presence? Lord Jesus, you are with me right now. Do I live like I have the treasure? Well, here's what I want to do to help you remember. You know, the Bible is really big on visual remembrances. You think of the pillars in the Old Testament, piles of stones in the Jordan River. You know, in the New Testament, we have the bread and the cup. We remember. We have these visuals that help us to remember. So today, I'm leaving you with a visual, okay? As you walk out today, there's going to be people at every door. And I just put up a little card that says that phrase, Lord Jesus, you are with me right now. Surely the Lord is in this place. When you say that, surely the Lord is in this place right here. He's in you. Remember, you don't walk into church. The church walks into a building because Christ lives in you. You're the people in whom he dwells. So I want to encourage you, would you put this on your mirror, put it in your book bag, put it somewhere where you'll not forget, you'll have this reminder all throughout the day. Lord Jesus, you are with me right now. For to me, to live is whom? Christ. To live is Christ. May it be for you, for me, for all of us. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we believe today that you reign with authority and power. You're seated in the heavenly realms, and in some mysterious way, we are seated there with you. And Lord, to think that you love us more than we could ever know. You loved me and gave yourself for me. You want to live life with us. So Lord, today, we invite you to do that. Every part of our day, every activity, every conversation, every meal, every errand, every moment of free time, all with you. Lord, be honored in us, we pray. Live your life through us by the power of your Spirit. We pray in your name. And all of his grateful followers said, amen. Go do life with him today. God bless you.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.